Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends, and welcome to the Chosen People radio program and podcast. We're so thrilled that you've carved out some time to spend with Bobby and I. And we have a pretty special show today because there's something wonderful that's happening that personally I've been waiting for many, many years. We'll tell you all about it in a minute. Bobby, how's the weather in New York City?
Oh, wow. It's pretty warm. It's pretty warm out right now.
It's warm, and then it's hot, and then it's hotter?
Yes. Toasty.
Might say. Wow, yeah. Okay. So you could cook an egg on Brooklyn concrete, but you wouldn't want to. Believe me, you wouldn't. And so here we are, and you ready for the news?
I'm ready, Bobby? I'm ready.
Drum roll. All right. The news is this. After almost 25 years, my doctoral dissertation has been turned into a book that you can read, and it's entitled Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And it's a really exciting, dynamic read, a little bit sad at times, of course, because of the topic, but we're going to talk about it today, and I'll explain the book and why I wrote it and all of that, and so that you can pray and maybe even order the book, because I want you to find out what God did in one of the darkest moments of Jewish history. Bobby, I know you have read the book and that it's the material is exciting for you as well. Should we just go ahead and talk about it a little bit? Do you have any questions for me about it?
Well, it's not really a question, but I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you,
and,
Bobby.
Or as we say on the streets of Brooklyn, Mazel Tov.
That also means congratulations.
It does. But this book, Mitch, I mean, absolutely incredible. And I think timely as well, even though it's looking back into, like you said, a very dark moment in history.
Yes.
It's really, I think, relevant for us today as followers of Yeshua, those who are especially concerned about sharing the gospel with the Jewish people in the midst of, you know, a culture, a society that is really just plagued by growing anti-Semitism right now.
Yeah, we've seen it before, huh?
Yeah.
And we've seen the result before.
Yeah.
And what we have to remember is God's faithfulness in the midst of these difficult moments.
Right.
And oh, how I wish my family would understand how bad it could get, because it can. Mm-hmm. And I have nephews and, you know, younger people in my family who don't know the Lord, and most of them really don't read the Bible, and very Jewish, but not religious. I just know that if really tough times come, that they're going to need the Lord so badly. And I pray for them, and you can pray for them too. I'm hoping that they'll come to faith in Yeshua so that they can have that hope beyond hope.
Mm-hmm.
So any questions for me, Bobby?
Yeah. So
fire away. Easy
fire
ones first.
Fire away. Okay. Well, I know that, I mean, your story with this book, like you said, dates back at least 25 years, maybe a little bit longer.
A little bit longer, yeah.
And, but what prompted you, you know, take us back to Mitch, when you're a doctoral student and you're selecting a topic to focus on and really dig into, because, you know, when you're pursuing a PhD in something, you're essentially on a journey to become an expert in that topic.
Bobby, great question. And I have quite the story as an answer. So I grew up in a traditional Jewish home in New York City. We were modern Orthodox, but not practicing. Mm-hmm. And so I rejected what I knew, whereas some Jewish kids rejected what they didn't know. I always loved the Bible because I was taught in Hebrew school, religious school, 4 days a week. And I was reading fluent Hebrew by the time I was nine. Mm-hmm. But I never really grappled with the text and what it meant, and I never thought about what God was telling me. It was Hebrew school. I had to read it. I had to prepare for my bar mitzvah when I was 13. It was a very wonderful Jewish environment, and culturally and religiously, I enjoyed it too. We celebrated all the major Jewish holidays. It was a great childhood, really. And I appreciated my Jewish heritage and Jewish history. As I got a little bit older, I became familiar with some of the dark moments in Jewish history, like the Holocaust. It sort of came together for me visiting my grandparents in Brooklyn, and I was looking at all these wonderful pictures that I had seen many times before, but I never thought about it. Mm-hmm. Just all these wonderful pictures of family members, uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters to my grandparents who were Orthodox and therefore had a lot of brothers and sisters. And they originally were from Belarus. And they came over to the Golden Land, the land of freedom and religious freedom and economic freedom, and that's the United States. My grandfather started a clothing store and got another clothing store, and I really had a great upbringing and a wonderful family. But there was something tragic about it. There, you could see actually a sadness in my grandparents anytime I began asking them about the pictures on the wall. Mm-hmm. I could almost never get a straight answer. You know, who's that person? It's a natural question to ask, you know? And I would look at these pictures, and then as I began to get a little bit older and maybe into junior high and high school, those same pictures really came alive for me because I finally realized that these are all the family members I would never meet because every single last one of them perished in the Holocaust. Minsk, which is where they were from, was a bloodbath. It was a Nazi bloodbath. And so my grandparents lost all their family. I asked my mom finally about this because nobody talked about it. Mm-hmm. They were just trying to get away from it. And I asked my mom, what about these people? I mean, well, how come grandma and grandpa came? You know, they had like 20 brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and their parents said, why didn't anybody else come? And my mom said, finally, that's a very sad story. So what happened was my grandparents were married very young, mm-hmm. which is traditional in the Orthodox community. I think my grandmother was 17 or 18. My grandfather was 19. And my grandmother's father had a very good manufacturing business in Minsk. He had some funding and some finances, and he built a home for the new couple, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so they moved into the home, and then within a year, I think, they had a fire and the house burned down. Now, there had been a lot of talk in the early 20s, post-World War I, maybe 1918, 1920, somewhere in there.
Right.
But by the early 20s, my grandmother and grandfather took a boat and came to Ellis Island,
wow,
right off the coast of Brooklyn, really between Brooklyn and Staten Island. Mm-hmm. And they immigrated to the United States. And the hope was that once they immigrated, then they would bring the rest of the family. And so my grandfather started that business and managed to buy a home. And they settled in a lovely, very Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn with other immigrants. And they spoke Yiddish, which is a combination of German and Hebrew as their first language. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother actually never talked to me in English.
Wow.
And so we used a lot of hand motions to communicate. I said, well, to my mom, I said, so what happened? It seems that my grandmother's mother, so my great-grandmother, had come over for a visit, mm-hmm. in the really before the Depression, so before 1929. And she took one look at Brooklyn and everything else. Remember, they came from a fairly well-off home.
Right.
And my great-grandmother said, this is very nice. Wish you would come home. We're not moving. Mm. And so they never moved. And then, as we see in some circles today, anti-Semitism sort of bubbled under the surface, and then it began growing, and then it began overflowing into the general culture. Mm-hmm. And before you knew it, there were pogroms, which were efforts to destroy the Jewish people and destroy Jewish property and so on. Pogroms started breaking out in Belarus. And then it got much worse, because then in the late 30s, Hitler came to power. And Belarus was not linked with Germany officially, but soon the Axis powers formed and Germany and Russia, which Belarus was part of at that time, that became very brutal for the Jewish people. That alliance was so destructive because there were over 2 million Jewish people living in what we now call the former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. There were probably 600,000 living in Germany. So for the Nazis who wanted to destroy all the Jews, that alliance with Belarus and with Russia itself and what was then Poland and Ukraine, that alliance, wow, that was a goldmine for the Nazis. As World War II began, the Nazis stormed very early into Minsk, and with the aid of the Belarusian population and government, they slaughtered the Jews of Minsk. Really, hundreds of thousands of Jewish people died. And so now we come back to the pictures on the wall.
Right.
It was hard to get a straight answer from my grandmother about who was who, but I knew that these were their beloved family. These were all part of the family, very large extended family, who all died. And some in concentration camps, but a lot of the Minsk Jewish population never made it to concentration camps. They were killed in fields and other places, in the forests. I must say that I grew up haunted by the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And I looked like a, you know, typical, secular, carefree, young Jewish guy. And I was born in 1952. Now you know my age. Be respectful. And so I was born in 1952. And so that was 7 years after the Holocaust.
Right.
Just 7 years.
Right.
And so my parents grew up directly in the shadow of the Holocaust, but even more so, they actually lived through the Holocaust. They were, at least my dad had begun his teenage years during the Holocaust. Mm. It was like a shadow. Mm-hmm. It was like a bad dream. Mm. Couldn't get any information really out of my parents, but I got some out of some relatives. I'm not sure how much my parents knew. I don't know if my grandparents talked about it. I just don't know. They never talked about it to me. Absolutely never. Not a word. Not a word about the relatives. Not a word about that.
Wow.
I think they were so traumatized.
Yeah.
When I became a believer in Jesus when I was 19 years old, it wasn't easy because I was your typical Jewish person who would feel that Christians persecuted the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And for centuries, and you know, we confused the Nazis with Christians because they were not Jewish, they were not Buddhists, so what were they? It was a very difficult climate to get along in. And so I became a believer in Jesus, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm now a believer in Jesus, and I loved the Lord, and he transformed my life, but feeling comfortable, for example, in the church, mm-hmm. it was really difficult for me. Although I was treated lovingly, it was just very difficult cultural adjustment for me. And so I went to Bible college, then went to seminary. And when I was in seminary, I finally came in California. I finally said to myself, you know, I've got to find out if my grandparents and their families ever heard about Jesus before they perished. And I was driven to find out the answers, and I didn't know where to look. There was no book written on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just didn't know.
Wow.
Were there missionaries in Eastern Europe? Did they communicate? Were there Jewish believers, Messianic Jews, in the camps? And did they have a chance before people died and went to the ovens or gas chambers? Did they have an opportunity to share the gospel with people like represented by the pictures on the wall? I decided to go on for another degree, but one of the reasons I decided to go on for the degree was because I really desperately wanted to know if they had heard.
Yeah, wow.
The answer to that question, by the way, is they very well may have. Mm. And I'll share more with you about why I believe that's true. And I've written it up extensively in the Shadow of the Holocaust book. And I hope that you'll read it, and I hope that others will understand it, because God did some amazing things during this very sad time.
Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust by Mitch Glazer uncovers a largely forgotten chapter of the 20th century, the dramatic rise and tragic destruction of Jewish missions in continental Europe before and during the Holocaust. Most readers associate European Jewish history of this era almost exclusively with the horrors of the Holocaust. Glaser does not minimize that catastrophe, but presents it as the defining event shaping modern Jewish consciousness. Yet this work also reveals what existed before the destruction, a vibrant and growing movement of Jewish people throughout Europe exploring and embracing faith in Jesus as Messiah. Glaser traces mission activity across Poland, Russia, Hungary, Romania, Germany, Austria, France, the Netherlands, and beyond. This book does not romanticize missionary efforts. Instead, it openly and honestly acknowledges failures, cultural insensitivity, and the damage done by anti-Semitism within so-called Christian societies. At the same time, nominal Christianity is carefully distinguished from the missionaries who genuinely loved, served, and sacrificed for Jewish communities during Europe's darkest years. Many Jewish believers in Jesus suffered and died alongside religious and secular Jews, but from the ashes emerged leaders who later helped shape the modern Messianic Jewish movement. Beginning June 23, 2026, you can order Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust on our online store. For those listening, you can sign up to receive the first chapter of the book for free on chosenpeople.com/radio. Also, if you would like to support the mission of Chosen People Ministries with a gift of $118 or more, you will receive a free complimentary copy of Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we're recommending 118 because in Judaism, the number 18 stands for life, or the Hebrew word chai. And we want to invite you to be able to give a gift of life through the Messiah Jesus to the Jewish people. This book fills a major gap in modern mission history and deserves a wide readership among pastors, historians, theologians, and anyone interested in understanding the forces that shaped the modern Jewish world.
So that's why I wrote it, Bobby. I wanted to know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Mitch. Yeah. Truly profound. I mean, obviously, this is way more than just an academic endeavor that you went on. This was deeply personal for you. It makes me want to read the book again, you know, because to know that what was driving you throughout this process was that one question. Did your family, your Jewish, your large extended Jewish family, people that you never had a chance to meet, did they have that opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the good news of Yeshua?
Right.
I think it's amazing.
And of course, that has motivated me throughout my life.
Right.
To share the gospel with my Jewish people and treat them all like my family, not knowing what their decision's going to be or whether they heard it before or they didn't. I always assume that I'm the first person telling them. Mm. And that's been the passion of my life. And the Holocaust really did do a lot to shape my life and my burden for my own people.
That's probably one of the great byproducts that I believe is going to come from this book getting out and this, you know, you sharing your story, sharing your research, and sharing your burden so that others within the body, within the church, within the broader believing community might catch that same vision and that same burden, that same passion to share the gospel with Jewish people.
Absolutely. And I think that there are going to be a lot of Jewish believers who will be encouraged by this because they probably thought that their grandparents or great-grandparents never heard. And what I'm going to tell you is they very well might have because God was doing something special in those years prior to the Holocaust and even during the Holocaust as well as after.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We're actually going to cut the conversation short right now, but we're going to pick it up again next week.
In 1892, Rabbi Leopold Cohen passed an open door to a church on the Lower East Side of Manhattan and heard someone preaching the gospel in Yiddish, the language of his Jewish Hungarian homeland. After reading the New Testament he received from the young Jewish preacher, Rabbi Cohen gave his life to Jesus and became deeply burdened for the salvation of his fellow Jewish people. This was the birth of Chosen People Ministries. Rabbi Cohen began reaching out to the tens of thousands of poor Eastern European Jewish immigrants. Under his inspired leadership, the mission he founded provided food and clothing, taught English and sewing classes, offered medical care, and shared the good news of Jesus the Messiah. Rabbi Cohen understood the importance of not only sharing the gospel with words, but also by showing the love of Jesus to his chosen people. As a result, many Jewish people came to faith. Rabbi Cohen's son, Joseph Hoffman Cohen, succeeded him, and Chosen People Ministries continued to grow. Headquartered in the heart of New York City, which has the highest concentration of Jewish people in the world, Chosen People Ministries also ministers in over 20 cities throughout North America. Although our world has changed since the days of Leopold Cohen, our mission statement remains the same. Our mission is to pray for, evangelize, disciple, and serve Jewish people everywhere and help fellow believers do the same. We plant Messianic congregations, centers, and Jewish ministries on college campuses. We organize Messianic children's camps, conduct social media gospel campaigns, and bring dozens on short-term missions trips in the United States, Israel, and other places where Israelis travel. We also equip both Jewish and Gentile believers through our Messianic Jewish Studies program, Bible conferences, church presentations, and producing books and training materials. Our work in Israel is extensive. Chosen People Ministries is one of the largest mission agencies operating in the Holy Land. It includes ministry to Holocaust survivors, running a children's camp for Israeli children, operating food and clothing distribution sites, and two Messianic centers. We also send teams of young people annually to encourage Israelis and assist our staff in their outreaches. Here are some ways you can help. Pray for Chosen People Ministries. We covet your prayers as we reach God's chosen people. And you can support the work of Chosen People Ministries by giving today. We cannot serve the United States and the 16 other countries around the globe without your generosity.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. And we're very grateful that you're checking us out and that you're listening. And we would love to hear from you as well. So if you can, check us out online at chosenpeople.com/radio and fill out your information. You can send us an email. You can send us a message. If you would like to email us, the email address is radio@chosenpeople.com. You can also leave us a voicemail message. Just call this number, 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. And you can leave us a voicemail message with a question or a compliment or even a complaint if you feel so led. Now, also, if you reach out to us, whether you send us an email or visit the website at chosenpeople.com/radio, we want to give you a copy of one of the chapters from Mitch's book, Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we want to give that to you for free. So again, just check us out, chosenpeople.com/radio. Send us an email, radio@chosenpeople.com, or give us a call and leave us a message, 914-288-1466. So thank you so much again. God bless you. And now we're going to close things out with the Aaronic benediction.
Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmorecha Ya'er ponov elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai ponov elecha v'yisem lecha shalom v'yisem lecha Shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.